I want to share with you some of what I experienced this past Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Tallahassee, where our cathedral for the diocese, St. Peter's Cathedral. We first had a clergy conference at Holy Cross Church, which is just about a mile and a half from the cathedral. And it's always wonderful to reconnect with other Anglican clergy. You know, I meet with clergy from all over this county every Wednesday, but to get together with other Anglican clergy, like mind, like spirit, like word, it's very powerful. Many of these people I've known for a long time, all the way back in Jacksonville when we lived there, when I was junior and senior warden for Redeemer Episcopal Church at the time, and our rector was our bishop, Bishop Neil LaBarre. Well, on Thursday night, the bishop decided to give us a wonderful gift, something that I know personally I have not experienced. He held a very special service of renewing of our ordination vows. Over 100 priests and deacons were present at this service. I want you to hear some of the words and promises made. I'm going to keep this portion short. The bishop asks, "Do you believe that the Holy Scriptures contain all doctrine required as necessary for eternal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? And are you determined out of the Scriptures to instruct the people committed to your charge and to teach nothing as necessary to eternal salvation, but that which may be concluded and proved by the Scriptures?" And we all answered, "I believe it, and have so determined by God's grace." And then there were several other questions, but then the bishop asked this question. He says, "Will you reverently obey your bishop and other chief ministers who, according to the canons of the church, may have charge and authority over you, following with a glad mind and will their godly admonitions and submitting yourself to their godly judgments?" And our answer, "I will, the Lord being my helper." You see, these promises speak loudly from the ones that I remember making 13 years ago on December 11th, 2005 at St. John's Cathedral. My son and daughter were there to hear promises made, pledging allegiance to a denomination and less about the godly authority driven by Holy Scripture. It was an amazing time, one in which I thanked our bishop and I said to him, "You know, it was great to re-up." And we had a wonderful speaker there, a renowned author and psychologist, Dr. James Osterhaus. He comes from Virginia, and he's of TAG Consulting Group. They consult to churches all over, and they consult to the Pentagon being located. And his name keeps popping up in a very interesting book, Canoeing the Mountains, Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territory. It's about Lewis and Clark, and it was written by Todd Balsinger. On their Western explorations, they thought that canoes would carry them all the way to the Pacific. They would start out on a river and get to a lake and get to another river and figured that would take them all the way to the Pacific. But then they ran into one thing, the Rocky Mountains. What do you do with a canoe trying to get over the Rocky Mountains? You know what? It meant that the whole program changes. Got to be flexible. And that's sort of what's happening in the church today. There's a good reason Jim's name is all over that book. It's because Jim was Todd's coach and mentor. Now, our bishop thought, why get Todd when we can get the coach? So he brought the coach in, someone he has known since Truro Church in Virginia for well over 30 years. And we had several sessions of listening and learning from Jim, his humor and his insight. And our time in the conference was mostly about prayer, though. And it was really exciting that every single thing we did was centered around prayer, reflection, and learning. And I got to thinking about my life. I got to thinking about prior to Crecio, Curcio experience in 1998. I knew a lot about Jesus, but it wasn't really until that time that it became apparent to me that I did not know Jesus. And it was then that he came right here, and I felt that instead of worshiping him afar, I had him right here and would have him with me every day of my life. It was really a powerful time and a reminder of trails walked and sometimes run with the Lord. During the diocesan synod, which was from Friday night through yesterday afternoon, was once again a time of great fellowship, seeing and sharing with people, not only clergy, but people from all over this expansive diocese. Do you know how big the Gulf Atlantic Diocese is? Runs all the way from South Florida, Miami area, South Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas. I wish I had the bishop's frequent flyer miles. Gets around a lot. He's happy about the two-hour drive that he'll make here in December. It's great to see people who are in love with our Savior and are working hard to strengthen our church and province, the Anglican Church in North America. Our deacons, Bob and Diane Millott, were formally introduced as new clergy in our diocese. Now, the word provisional doesn't go away yet. We're still waiting for the Oxford background checks to come back. I have no doubt that they're going to be great. And once they do, the provisional comes down. But the explanation was that they were in Ireland, and immediately everyone there, almost everyone, was very envious, wishing that we were kissing the Blarney Stone as well. But really wonderful. They explained that they came out of the Episcopal Church and are serving here in St. Andrews in Douglas, Georgia. It was very interesting to hear some facts from people who were explaining the state of the church. Did you know that 84% of American Christians accepted the Lord before their 22nd birthday? And even worse, that there's only a 4% chance that an American will ever come to Christ after their 22nd birthday. All ages are important, but we've got to grow the faith in our youth. That's one of the reasons why Children's Church. And on Wednesday night, we have programs for the children. And I promise you, we'll have more. We'll have more expanding through the years as children grow. I want to tell you a story, and then I'm going to get to the scripture from today. Our deacon for youth in the diocese, her name is Dr. Jessica Jones. She told the story of a girl at our diocesan camp Araminta that took place this past summer. This young girl was sitting all by herself, call her a loner if you will, and she didn't want to have any part of anybody else, whether it was a leader or another kid. The priest and deacon in charge noticed this and they said, we want to talk to this young girl. Maybe we can help. The girl was not willing to share. She had just put up a wall. The art time that took place, she was painting. And her pictures were one thing, solid black. A sheet of paper painted solid black. And so they came to a common ground. They met with her. She didn't want to talk. And finally, Jessica said, there's got to be something. So she was asking her what she liked. And she was a big Harry Potter fan. And Jessica likes Harry Potter. So there was a common ground. They started talking about characters and so on. And that was a door that opened. The next day, her paintings were rainbows. What a change. Well, that's a great story. Right there, there's an opening. But it's not the end. Jessica had a meeting of youth leaders throughout the diocese. And young lady from the Miami area shared about the transformation of a young girl at camp who found the love of Christ. In fact, she gave her life to Christ at that camp. And there were people who saw the worth in her. And that opened the door for her to see that she was worth it and that Christ loved her. And this youth leader said, and you know what? Her black paintings turned into rainbows. Well, Jessica burst out in tears. And she did it at the synod. Because she recognized that Christ's love reached to this girl through the priest and herself. Amazing. Driving to Tallahassee, I saw evidence of Hurricane Michael. Storm was 1 month ago yesterday. And I saw piles of wood piled along the side of the road from trees that had been down. 1 month. The world has moved on, but the damage has not. One church and surrounding homes and businesses are gone and won't rebuild due to the fact that all of the members are no longer there. St. Paul's Anglican Church in Lynn Haven, Florida is no more. It was down to the ground. What's the priest to do? Well, the diocese is helping, but the church is gone, and so are its members. The question is, a whole town was decimated, so how do people go to work when their jobs are gone? How do people go to their homes when they're not there anymore? The Anglican Relief Development Fund, ARDF.org, is available. You can look it up. They are on the ground, and they are trying to help people. It is a part of the Anglican Church in North America. If you want to know more, talk to me later. We were blessed to welcome a new congregation, Prince of Peace in Melbourne, Florida. And we expect several more to be added next year. And our bishop gave me a huge hug yesterday as I was leaving. And he said he's excited to come to be a part here at St. Andrew's and apologize for the mix-up in the calendar. I want to get to the readings. Very important reading today that Grant read for us. Don't you love his accent? Once you forget about the accent, you can get zero in on the word. And the word today is about the prophet Elijah and how he was instructed by God to go to a town called Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. He said, I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Well, when he got there, the widow was there gathering sticks. He had called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? Well, as she's going to get it, he called, and bring me a piece of bread too. She said, as surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. I only have a handful of flour and a little of oil in a jug. And I'm gathering these sticks to take home to build a fire so that I can make some bread. And then my son and I can die. And Elijah looked at her and said, don't be afraid. Go home, make a small cake of bread for me, from what you have, and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself. Wasn't that nice? And for your son. And he says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did what Elijah had told her to do. And you know what? It was food every day. The flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord that was spoken by Elijah. God's alive and well. Yes, even in the Old Testament. But wait. Our gospel message talks about an incredible thing that Jesus witnessed. A widow who came to the temple and put in two very small copper coins. Only about a penny in worth. That's not bad. The point Jesus wanted to make about this is, as I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. He then said they gave all out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything. All she had to live on. See, the point that Jesus was trying to make is it wasn't about the amount, but about the faith being given and the spirit in which she gave. I want to close today with the words of Jesus taken from Matthew chapter 22, verses 19 to 21. Let me read them to you. Jesus was asked if it's right to pay taxes to Caesar, and he knew that they were trying to trap him. And he called them hypocrites for trying to trap him. And so Jesus asked, "Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait's on that? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. And Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." Jesus had them show him the image on the coin, Caesar's image. And he rightly told them to give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, the tax. Why didn't he show them God's image? He told them to give to God what is God's, but where's God's image? Think about that for a minute. I know, you might be thinking, well, he was sitting right there in front of them. But I want to suggest to you that the image wasn't only sitting in front of them. The image was sitting in front of him. Listen to these words from Genesis chapter 1. God said during creation, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And so give to God what is God's. Jesus is not only talking about money here, but he's telling us to give of ourselves. What's called incarnational ministry, the ministry of presence. We all have gifts. There's lots of things that we can do for the kingdom of God. It could be a hand on the shoulder of somebody who feels alone. It could be a smile, even at Harvey's. So many things. He's telling us to give of ourselves in service and faith to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.